All right. So today we're going deep on something that might seem kind of, I don't know, boring at first, but stick with us because this is one of those things that's silently really important to how we live online these days. It's third-party security. And we know this one came from you guys, our listeners, requested this deep dive. And knowing you all, it's probably not just casual curiosity, right? Big presentation coming up, maybe spearheading a new project at work. Whatever it is, we're going to make sure that you're the one everybody's looking to for answers. We've got a ton of research on this whole managing third-party security risk thing. And honestly, some of it, well, it's about as exciting as watching paint dry. But don't worry, that's what WE here for. We're going to dig out the good stuff, the stuff you can actually use, so you can look at those contracts with vendors and actually know what to look for, you know, really scrutinize those things. Because, come on, we've all heard it right. That line, don't worry. All our vendors are totally secure. Yeah, well, by the end of this deep dive, you'll be able to see right through that. But before we get all up in their business, let's take a sec to define what third-party security even means. And we'll try to do it without all the jargon, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. Think of it this way. Every time a company, doesn't matter if it's huge or just starting out, every time they use something outside of their own, systems, could be a vendor, some new software, a cloud service, anything like that, it's basically an open invitation to a party. And the guests, they're after the data. So third-party security is really about making sure those guests are who they say they are. And more importantly, that they didn't bring any uninvited friends, if you get what I mean.
Okay, so it's not just about like MY data being safe. It's about anyone who might get access because of that one app I used to, I don't know, order pizza on Friday
We
night.
got it. That's exactly right. And it's not just a few companies doing this anymore. It's practically everyone, especially with how much we rely on the cloud these days.
Yeah, it's true. And what about all those data breaches we hear about all the time? Those aren't exactly ancient history.
Nope.
Target, SolarWinds, those are huge wake-up calls.
They were, and they should have made everyone pay attention
For sure.
because it shows that this isn't just some theoretical problem. Real businesses. Companies with customers just like you, they're feeling the pain when security goes wrong. Which, and this is where it gets interesting, is a pretty recent thing. This whole landscape has been changing for decades under the radar, and we're just now realizing how high the stakes really are.
So it's like one of those slow burn thrillers that suddenly, bam, edge of your seat time.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to put it. Think about it. A few decades ago, outsourcing was all about saving money, right? Then the internet blows up, and now we're sharing more data than anyone imagined, often without even realizing it. And, well, the consequences, they got a whole lot more serious.
So no more, oops, we emailed the wrong spreadsheet. It's, oops, our vendor leaked millions of credit card numbers.
Exactly, like that card system solutions breach back in 2005. More than 40 million credit cards compromised, and the culprit, a third-party vendor. Or how about Epsilon 2011, huge hit, impacted a bunch of Fortune 500 companies.
So this isn't just a problem for the big guys anymore.
Nope, it's everyone's problem now. And after that, we saw things change. GDPR, CCPA, those regulations weren't just random acronyms, they were a sign. Governments were stepping in saying, enough is enough.
Yeah, definitely felt like a turning point.
It was. Data security was finally getting the attention it deserved. And you know what's interesting about GDPR and CCPA? They didn't just make things stricter for companies. They basically put everyone on notice. You couldn't just say you cared about security anymore. You had to prove it.
Which kind of leads us to that big question, right? Of how do we actually get this right? Because I'll admit, it's easy to get lost in the weeds with all this.
It can be a lot, for sure. But that's why even knowing a little bit about how we got here matters. It gives you context. Like, remember that Target breach back in 2013?
Vaguely, yeah.
How'd that even start?
It was something with their HVAC system.
Their HVAC vendor, to be exact, hackers got into Target systems, not through some crazy elaborate plan, but because of a security flaw in their vendor system. Proves that even third parties you wouldn't think are connected, they can be the weak link.
Okay, now I'm getting chills. We're not just talking about tech companies or huge stores here. It's anyone who uses ANY vendor, which is, well, pretty much everyone.
Exactly. And this is what I think is so fascinating. Managing this risk, it's not about just checking boxes on the list. It's about really understanding what you're looking at, which is where you come in, dear listener. This isn't just information. We're giving you a whole new way to look at your own digital life.
Gotta love a good direct address. Okay, so we know it's important. We know it's messy. What do we do about it? Where do we even start?
Well, the research we looked at, it breaks things down by roles in a company. And what I find interesting is that no matter what your job is, there's something in here for you.
Okay, so let's say someone's in charge, a leadership position, making decisions. What should they be prioritizing when it comes to third-party security?
Honestly, I think it starts with the company culture itself. Is security just something you talk about in meetings? Or is it part of every single decision, every partnership? Because that attitude, that commitment, it comes from the top. And it's not just about spending a ton of money either. It's about being willing to ask those tough questions. What's our actual risk tolerance here? What are we okay with? And what are our absolute deal breakers?
So kind of like you can't get rid of every risk, but you can be smart about which risks you're willing to take.
Exactly. Now let's shift gears a little. What if our listener is on the engineering team? The ones who usually have to make all these third-party tools actually work.
And this isn't just for the coding geniuses, right? This goes for anyone picking out new software, even for a small team.
Absolutely. You have more power than you think. When you're talking to a vendor, don't be afraid to ask those direct questions about how they handle security. What kind of encryption are they using? What's their plan if there's a data breach? Do they even have a detailed plan?
Those are such good questions. Honestly, if a vendor gets all weird about those questions, I'd be worried.
Oh, absolutely. Transparency is key here. Now, what about our analysts out there? They're like the detectives of the security world.
Always good to have one of those on your side.
Got that right. And even if you're not, you know, some seasoned pro, you can still learn to spot those red flags. Does what the vendor's saying all add up? Are they being evasive about their security measures? Never underestimate a good gut feeling.
Yeah, trust your instincts, everyone. Okay, last but not least, we've got our auditors. Now, I know what you're thinking.
That auditors are known for their wild Friday nights.
Exactly. But they're important, right?
They are crucial. Think of them as the gotcha squad. They're the ones companies hope won't notice that one little thing. But they almost always do. Looking for those tiny weaknesses in contracts, those gaps in security, anything that could put the company at risk.
Right. They're like the referees making sure everyone's playing fair.
Exactly. And believe me, they've seen it all, which is why they're so important.
Okay, so we've talked about the different roles, but this kind of feels like we're studying for a test or something. Can we make this practical? What can our listener actually DO starting like today?
Absolutely. It boils down to three things. Risk assessment, solid contracts, and this one's often forgotten, ongoing monitoring.
Okay, I like it. A good framework. Let's break those down a bit. First up, risk assessment. What does that actually mean?
It's not just looking at a vendor's website for 5 seconds and calling it a day. You have to really think about the data you're handing over. How sensitive is it? Is it secret, valuable information? And what's the vendor's history? Have they had breaches before? Because even something small can turn into a huge problem for you.
So it's about asking those tough questions before you trust them with your data. Don't assume that a big name means they're automatically secure.
Exactly. And that brings us to the next part, contracts. Now, I know contracts can seem about as exciting as well.
Hey now, some of us love a good contract negotiation.
You're one of a kind. But I think we can both agree, contracts are more than just legal words. They're your chance to spell out exactly what you expect when it comes to security.
This is where the talk stops and the action starts. No more vague promises.
Right. Does the contract say what happens if there's a breach? Who's responsible? What's the process for reporting it? Don't be afraid to get into the details. And if you need to, bring in your lawyers, make sure you're covered.
And it doesn't end once the contract's signed, does it? That's where the ongoing monitoring comes in.
So important. And you'd be surprised how often people forget this part. You can't just assume everything's perfect once the papers are signed.
Mm-hmm.
You need a way to check in with your vendors regularly.
So how often are we talking? And for those of us who aren't, you know, tech wizards, what are we looking for?
How often depends on the vendor and how sensitive the data is. But at the very least, check in once a year. Look for things like, have they changed their security policies? Any bad news about them in the industry? Anything that just feels dot off? Trust your gut.
It's like they say, trust, but verify. Don't be afraid to ask those follow-up questions.
Exactly. And that actually leads perfectly into our next point.
So we've got our, like, toolkit, right? Risk assessment, good contracts, checking in regularly. It almost feels like something we could actually manage. When you put it like that.
You absolutely can. And that's really the main thing here. You don't have to be some kind of cybersecurity genius to do this right.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking those steps consistently and not being afraid to ask the questions you need to ask.
I love that. Knowledge is power, especially these days. Speaking of questions, though, I can practically hear you thinking over there. You always have one of those thought-provoking things for us at the end.
I do. And this one is interesting because it takes what we've been talking about and sort of flips it on its head a bit. We've been focused on managing third-party security, Bhav. What if the third party isn't a who, but a what?
Okay, now you've got me curious. What's the what?
Think about AI, algorithms making decisions, sometimes without any human involvement at all. How do we even start to secure systems that are constantly learning, changing, maybe even, in ways their creators didn't expect?
Whoa, it's like we spent all this time fixing the holes in our fence only to realize the fence is made of, like, self-replicating nanobots or something. Totally different ballgame, right?
Our old tools, our checklists, they might not be enough anymore.
So what do we do? Just give up and hope for the best? Or are there things we can do now to get ready for that?
I'm not one to give up easily. I think it starts with awareness.
Oh.
We have to acknowledge that this IS, where things are headed, and start asking those difficult questions now.
Like what? Give me an example.
Okay, imagine a company using AI to make decisions about loans. Happens all the time these days. How do we make sure the AI itself isn't biased? That it's not discriminating based on things we haven't even thought about.
So it's not even about data breaches anymore. It's about the ethics of the technology itself. That's a big one.
It is, and it gets complicated quickly. This isn't just a tech issue. It's a whole societal thing.
This is why I love these deep dives. We started with picking secure vendors, and now we're talking about the future of AI ethics.
It's all connected.
It is.
And remember, this isn't just on the companies making this stuff. It's on all of us.
Mm-hmm.
As consumers, as users, are we demanding enough transparency? Are we willing to push back when things seem shady?
It's like you said earlier, we have more power than we think. We just got to use it.
Exactly. So to everyone listening, here's my final thought. As AI and all this automation gets more complex, what kind of future do you want to see? What are you going to ask?
Love it. We've given you the knowledge, the questions to ask. Now go out there and be informed, be picky, even be a little demanding. Because the future of all this isn't just up to the experts. It's up to all of us.
Well said.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. But keep the conversation going. Let us know what you think about all this AI stuff. We'll be back next time with more fascinating topics. So stay curious, deep divers.